Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, the industry's first and longest running podcast, now in our 20th year. I'm Roger Gross, the founder of Global Gaming Business, and today we sit down with Sal Simola, the CEO of Gun Lake Casino Resort in Michigan. With a long history in gaming, including running the Greektown Casino in Detroit and the Eastside Cannery in Las Vegas, Sal Simola joined Gun Lake Casino Resort in 2017 with a mission to dramatically expand the casino. Recently, Gun Lake added a 252-room hotel and the Wawi Oasis, an enclosed pool area that also hosts special events and concerts. Simola spoke with me from his office in Gun Lake in May. Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast. My guest today is Sal Simola, the CEO and president of Gun Lake Casino in Michigan. Sal, it's good to see you. We've been friends for a long time, and this seems to be the crowning point of your career, so I'm really glad that this happened for you.
Thanks, Roger. Good to see you as well. And
tell us what we saw. You've been at Gun Lake for what, 8 years now?
Yeah, October will be 8 years.
Okay. Yep. So tell us what you saw when you first got there. What was the property like? What was the market like?
So the property, as I think you know, you're aware, was originally developed by Station Casinos. It was a very well maintained property. You know, it's part of the tribe's brand, if you will, quality, cleanliness, and our business is very capital intensive. They've done a great job from when I first walked in. It was that way. You know, it looked like it was brand new, and it was 7 years old. Very clean. You know, as just to give you an idea, the internal maintenance team there, the size is about probably 2.5 times the size you would typically expect for a casino of that size.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it was that way specifically in terms of a high sense of urgency in keeping the property clean. You know, it's like you never see a piece of paper on the floor. If you do, we all pick it up. You know, that's part of the culture there, and has always been that way from day one. So that was really, really, you know, refreshing, nice to see. That told me that there was a lot of pride, you know, at the property, not only at the ownership level, but with the team members as well.
Sure, no question about it. So what was the first thing that you addressed when you got there?
You know, it wasn't like there was any raging fires.
Mm-hmm.
The tribe hired me to take the property to the next level from an expansion standpoint.
Right.
So it was really trying to get your head around, you know, the building as it stood, and then what did future iterations potentially look like? You know, my goal was always to, anytime there's an expansion, when it's completed, that somebody was to come for the first time, they would think it was built that way from day one.
Sure.
You know, seamless. And so there's a lot of thought that has to go into that, and sort of like playing chess, you have to think 2-3 moves out.
Mm-hmm.
Because we didn't just go from when I came in, it was basically expansion number 3. We didn't go from number 3 to what is now underway, expansion phase 5, overnight, right? And
sure.
The big bridge in that process was phase 4. And phase 4 was really designed to help set the stage for the phase 5 expansion, not just the internal transition, but also the exterior facade as well.
So these were big jumps you made. When you got there, there was no hotel, just a casino and a few restaurants, I imagine. How supportive of the tribe was the tribe of your ideas? I mean, you really went over the top with some of these ideas.
Yeah, no, they were absolutely supportive. You know, I've worked commercial casinos, public, private, other tribal operations. Very, very thoughtful tribe. They think through things at length. We talked, you know, from the beginning. It was a very collaborative process in the sense sharing some of my ideas and thoughts, and explaining to them why, you know, I thought that this would be the way to go in a particular expansion or venue that we built out or what have you. And they listen. And, you know, I think in every instance, they agreed to go forward with him. It just required, you know, the time to explain, make your case. And like I said, very thoughtful. They see the business argument for it and proceed it.
Sure.
You know, and it was a leap of faith sometimes. But, you know, you have to have a plan, right? And in trying to talk through it and explain what that plan looked like, they got it. And they were very supportive. They always wanted to have a hotel. They always wanted the property to be a family-friendly type property. And it had to be at a certain level of a standard, not just in terms of service, but also, you know, the building itself, the fit and finish, what have you, and so forth. So, we were aligned from day one.
Sure. So phase four was really important because that included the hotel and some more restaurants. So explain how that phase progressed and how it will really add to phase five when it opens in May.
Yeah, so actually, phase five was the hotel and the Hawaii Oasis. Phase four was a minor expansion of the casino, Roger, with really emphasis on non-gaming amenities. You know, we were short on non-gaming amenities, right? And that's a broad term, means a lot of different things, but primarily we were short in terms of restaurant capacity. Prior to phase four, we had our three-meal restaurant and a buffet and a very, very small quick-serve type outlet. And we just did not have enough seats, did not have the ability to produce enough covers. So with phase four, it was really about addressing several different things at the same time. A, make the property a bit more compact, because originally phase four was expected to continue to go west towards the highway. Mm-hmm. And we were going to wind up with this long, thin property. So A, make it more compact. B, address the facade as well, because the original exterior facade was very modest and it looked like a mid-rise structure. It didn't have a lot of curvature, design, character to it. And of course, the skin as well.
Sure.
So in thinking about what phase five might look and feel like, trying to anticipate that played a role into the exterior facade of phase four, where we added some shape and took into account the exterior treatment, the skin as we call it, that color palette would transfer over to the hotel tower and continue to, when it's all complete, look like it was built that way from day one. The exterior just as important as the interior.
Sure.
And the phase four expansion, put in this context, the original build was approximately 1,200 slot machines, 20 tables, a couple quick serve outlets, and the three-meal restaurant. Phase four was actually only 400 slots and three restaurants, but it was the same footprint, mm-hmm. just to give you an idea in terms of what the emphasis was on the non-gaming piece. And those restaurants were built in anticipation of phase five, because the irony is, as much land as the tribe owns, where the casino sits, we're kind of landlocked. North of us, there's wetlands. South of us is another street. East is a railroad track, and west is Route 131. So we had to make everything kind of work within those parameters, and kind of took that flow into account as we looked at phase four and what that meant to the phase five build. And phase five had limited food and beverage expansion, because we had set the table, so to speak, with the phase four expansion.
Sure, right.
We added a little bit more capacity than what we needed for four, but it was always the intent to help support phase five.
Okay, great. So let's talk about the Oasis. It's an incredible enclosed pool. We've seen it in a couple of properties in the industry so far, but you took it to the next level. So explain where you got the concept from and how it was conceived and why you chose HBG to help you design it.
Sure. So, as a operator, you're always looking to, at a minimum, be on a level playing field as your competition. Ideally, you want to have a market differentiator, right? So as we were thinking through what phase five was going to look like, obviously one of the components was going to be a hotel. But what else? What else were we going to offer besides additional casino offering and food and beverage? And I had been out at the East Coast Gaming Congress, as I do every year, and it was held at Harrah's for the longest time. And after the conference, they had a hospitality function in the Harrah's pool there. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, wow, wouldn't this be awesome in Michigan? And I had kind of contemplated something similar when I was at the Hard Rock in Vegas. We had rehab out there. And even though winters there are nothing like winters in Michigan, you don't have pool parties in the wintertime. And it kind of kicked around at a real high level. Thought, hey, can we enclose, part of that, some kind of retractable thing? It just wasn't feasible. But that concept was always kind of in the back of my mind. And when I was there for that hospitality function at the Harrah's venue, I thought this would be awesome to have in Michigan. When Harrah's built that 25 years ago, it was built to be a cool indoor pool for the 9 months of the year you couldn't go outside. And as our business, evolved, they did their best to make that space evolve, with it. They put a stage in, they added additional bars, the advent of daylife, nightlife, pool parties, what have you. So, to increase the utility value of the space. So it was just more than a pool during the day kind of deal. And started thinking through that a bit more. And when we were looking at phase five, we modeled four different scenarios: a hotel only, hotel and 20,000 square foot event space, hotel and dome. We call ours, well, we refer to ours sometimes as a dome, but it's not. We chopped off the top, Harrah's true dome. And the hotel, 20,000 square foot event space, and dome, and all four scenarios. And what the construction cost would be, what the pro forma would look like in each environment, and they all penciled out very well. The one that penciled the best was the hotel and dome, but the original idea of the dome did not give me the ability to do banquets that I get in the 20,000 square foot event space, or to do a concert for, 2,000 people thereabouts, which is, the sweet spot in our market. So, we contemplated all different kind of crazy things, retractable pool cover, because we weren't thinking outside the box. To have a sit-down concert, you have to have that line of sight, right? So how do you get that? And we did a design competition with architects. HBG ultimately was selected. They had a great concept. And one of the things that that we did to kind of resolve that sightline issue and also address the family-friendly component was, instead of a pool in the center, we put a family pool, what we refer to as a family pool, over to the side, one side, and then to the other side, we put two other pools. One kind of cascades down into the other one, but has a swim-up bar, so a more adult-type experience. And the other one, a little bit less so. That freed up that space in the center. Plus, we built in a permanent stage, and then it's a serious stage. We took riders into account in terms of a certain level of entertainment, and put a production kitchen below it. So now we could do banquets in the center. We can do sit-down concerts. We could do a pool party that may not require, theater style seating for a concert. So it gives us a lot more versatility in that space. and then gave me that market differentiator in the sense that without that functionality, sure, we had a differentiator from a venue standpoint than some of the others in the region, but it didn't give us the ability to do the banquets or the concerts. So now we can do the same offering, if you will, experience as everyone else. Plus with the Oasis, we have that additional draw and utility value, you know, 80 degrees year round. How nice is that, you know, especially in Michigan in the winter time.
Sure, right.
And we're going to do a lot of fun things with it, Roger. We're looking at dive-in movies and, you know, in addition to the pool parties and that kind of stuff, and just have a lot of fun and just make it a fun experience and a fun environment.
Yeah, it sounds great. Obviously, in the winter, it's going to be that long, cold winter in Michigan. you'll get a lot of people coming up there for that. How do you expect it to impact your customer base?
Oh, Jack, it's going to be incredible. You know, having the hotel obviously expands our geographic pool, right?
Right.
What the Oasis will give us, the Wailea Oasis will give us, is the ability to attract also even a demographic that's local that we're not getting today. By right. being able to have those pool parties or concerts, we're going to get some folks that we currently don't get in our immediate area,
sure.
right? So with the overall experience between the hotel and the Wailea Oasis entertainment complex, now it becomes a staycation type opportunity for that outer market. I firmly expect to get business from Detroit, mm-hmm. Northwest Indiana, Illinois. You know, people just looking to go someplace different. You know, right now, some of our guests that are loyal to us, but we're up until phase five, we've been limited in terms of what we've been able to provide them, drive past us to stay at another property overnight that has a hotel and
sure.
and make a night out of it, see a show, a concert, what have you. So I firmly expect that folks will drive past other properties that don't have the Wailea Oasis, because now we're beginning to offer them something that they can't get in their backyard.
Sure, sure.
And yet it's still within a reasonable drive. So, you know, within 2 hours, it changes our market and our positioning dramatically.
Sure, no question about that. So the hotel has been open recently. How many rooms is that, and how has that been, how have your customers responded to that?
Really, really, really good. Thank you. 252 rooms. We are just getting ready to open the penthouse floor, which comprises of 6 suites. There are 3 what we refer to in the industry as 2-bay suites, and then we have 2 3-bay suites. They have terraces, and then we have a 2-story suite that's about 3,600 square feet that has its own elevator. That's just incredibly well appointed.
Yeah.
Only a few folks have got to see those thus far. Our guests have seen our standard rooms and also our junior suites. We have 2 other suite types throughout the hotel. They're really, really nice rooms. HBG did a great job from a design and finish standpoint. Gives me a lot of headaches in terms of attic stock because of the different room types. You know, we didn't do a cut and paste type of approach when it came to wall covering and
sure.
furniture and that kind of thing, but it's well worth it.
Yeah.
And the guests that have experienced the hotel thus far have just been over the moon. And we're really proud of that and excited of the reaction that
right.
we've received so far.
Right. So, you know, all casino resorts, they have these great amenities, but you're not going to be successful unless you can instill in your employees the customer service that really needs to happen. I know you've done that in your previous stops. How have you done that at Gunlike?
You know, I had a great foundation to start with because the culture here already was, you know, in line with that, if you will.
Sure.
The hard part is to maintain that, right? It's one thing to be able to achieve it, but to maintain it over time. And I'm proud to say that we were just recognized for the sixth year in a row as one of the best and brightest companies to work for in Western Michigan. And a lot of that has to do with the employee engagement, the efforts that we expend. And we have that support from the tribe to be able to do that. You know, one of the things that that's been a challenge for me here is a lot of the folks that are working at this property, this may be the only casino they've ever worked at. Hey, there's always room for improvement, don't get me wrong, sure. But I've never worked at any property that the owners did as much for the team members as our tribe does for our team members. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'll give you a great example of that. When we closed during COVID, and by the way, our tribe doesn't get enough credit for this, but we were, to my knowledge, the first casino in the country to voluntarily close down. If you mm-hmm. remember how the process worked,
sure.
Back in the day, you know, as soon as somebody had a case, then they would shut down. And I remember it was like Wednesday of that week, and just seeing what was happening. And anyway, we called a board meeting Saturday morning and said, you know, it's just a matter of time. Let's just get out in front of it and shut down. Mm-hmm. You know, we could have gone maybe another week and made a little bit more money and what sure. have you. And they said, yeah, let's do it. And I know for a fact that hastened other operators in the area to do the same, because you saw things on social media like, you know, kudos to Gun Lake, you know, they're doing the right thing. And
right.
That kind of deal. And that definitely had to save somebody's life. There's yeah. no question about it. But the bigger part to that is we closed for 3 months. And during that time, we paid everybody the entire time. If you were a tip earner, we paid your IRS tip rate, mm-hmm. kept you on insurance. When they came out with the unemployment kicker, that even on top of everything I just outlined, you made more money on unemployment, we furloughed everyone. In fact, we took care of all the unemployment. You didn't have to do anything. We mm-hmm. did all of that for you electronically and then kept you on health insurance.
Okay.
So some people actually were better off, yeah. you know, at that point. I don't know of one company that did as much. And here's the other thing that's interesting. It's not that long ago that a lot of our tribal members were without a lot of things. Even, you know, outhouses, you know, they right. they can remember. It's not like this is multi-generational after the fact of being in a successful business that they do the things that they do. So, you know, that part has been really a fun and a nice feeling, you know, to be a part of that.
Sure, no question.
No question.
Well, you know, you've been involved in a lot of companies, you know, and obviously the work with the tribe certainly helps the tribe, and you know, the companies have shareholders, and that's always good. But I mean, when you can help a tribe, as you mentioned, you know, help them, you know, come up out of poverty in many cases. How satisfying is it to be able to do that for the Gun Lake Tribe?
You know, it really is. It really is. I mean, I don't want to sound magnanimous, but it's not only, you know, that you're helping the tribe and their citizens, but our tribe really, really gives back a lot to the local community mm-hmm. outside of their tribal community.
Right.
You know, a $2.5 million donation to Special Olympics Michigan, as an example, it's just one of many. And it's like the more that the property makes, the more that the tribe does for the community at large. So that's a great feeling. You know, that's very rewarding. Not only are you helping them and their immediate family in terms of the citizenship, but you know, it goes beyond their community,
yeah.
you know, and into the region. So, you know, that's gratifying for sure. There's no question about it. And that's always been one of the things that's been appealing to me about, you know, working for a tribe, that you get to see, you know, that good come about as a result of the efforts.
Right. It impacts the lives of the tribal members. That's always gratifying.
It does.
Well, Sal, congratulations on what you've done up there. I mean, 8 years, you know, you've dedicated your life up there, and I really appreciate you taking the time to do this. And again, congratulations.
Yeah, Roger, thank you very much.
Thanks for joining us on the GGB Podcast. To learn more about the topics discussed today and all the important issues in gaming, check out the Global Gaming Business Magazine. For a free virtual copy of the magazine, subscribe at ggbmagazine.com. To stay current with the daily news of the gaming industry, subscribe for free to the Global Gaming Monitor at igamingbusiness.com. Don't miss a single episode of the GGB Podcast. Subscribe on Amazon, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts today. So we'll see you next time on the GGB Podcast.